Chapter 13, The Fallacy of Carbon Dating. Now folks, how many of you would agree that no matter how many millions and billions of tries over millions and billions of years, that a fish jumping out of the water onto the land is never going to change into another creature? Every single time it's going to what? Die. And how many of you would agree that dead fish have no babies, i.e., evolution is impossible? And people, I'm telling you, evolution is not only a make-believe goofy cartoon, it's a serious stumbling block to the gospel of Christ. But don't take my word for it. Let's listen to this guy.
I am writing to thank you for being the key influence in bringing me to the Lord. I heard you speak, and I found the evidence for a creator compelling. I had always thought Christianity involved a leap of faith, which ignored all science and common sense. Yet, it was true science and common sense which led me to the Lord. Once I came to the position I could believe in a creator, the rest of the Bible fell into place. What Jesus did became logical, explicable, and entirely necessary. It made me wonder how I'd managed to miss it for so long. I accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior. I began to address the major areas of sin within my life. Many wonderful things happened, including clear answers to prayer.
Now folks, I don't know about you, but it sure sounds to me like this creation versus evolution thing really is a powerful way to share the gospel. How about you? And people, that's precisely why we're going to continue in our study, The Witness of Creation. And what we've been doing is taking a look at the five different evidences of creation that God has left behind for us, showing us that He's not just real, but that we really can have a personal, intimate relationship with Him, the Creator of the universe. And so far we've seen the first evidence God left behind for us, showing us this amazing truth, was the evidence of an intelligent creation. And then in the last two chapters we saw the second evidence was the evidence of a young creation. And so far we saw the first evidence showing us we really do have a young creation, just like Jesus said, and that was the evidence from space. And then in the last chapter, the second and third evidences of Earth and logic. And there we saw the evidence of meteor dust, helium content, topsoil, rate of erosion, the ocean salt, the Earth's oil and gas, magnetic field and spinning rate, man's history, writing, and population statistics, and finally, the age of the Sahara, coral reefs, and trees, showing us that yes, we really do have a young creation, just like Jesus says. Hello, He's no liar, evolution is. Oh, but that's not all. The second problem with evolution is that it calls God the Father a liar. But that's right, let's not take my word for it. Let's listen to God's.
Genesis 1:1-8. In the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty, darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. God saw that the light was good, and He separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness He called night. And there was evening, and there was morning the first day. And God said, "Let there be an expanse between the waters to separate water from water." So God made the expanse and separated the water under the expanse from the water above it. And it was so. God called the expanse sky. And there was evening, and there was morning the second day.
Now folks, according to our text, I think it's pretty clear. Creation didn't begin with some sort of mystical, magical, cosmic burp that exploded into everything, but what? It was God who created everything, right? How many of you guys would say that's pretty obvious in the text there? But that's right, folks. Here's the obvious problem. What does evolution teach? They don't teach that all things came from God. They teach what? That we're nothing but a cosmic accident that evolved from the goo to the zoo to me and you, right? And folks, I don't know about you, but I'd say that just a little contradictory to what we just read, right? But people, that's not all. That's just the tip of the iceberg. In virtually every single point, evolution totally contradicts God's account of creation in the book of Genesis. Let's take a look.
Number 1. Creation, matter created by God. Evolution, matter existed by itself. Number 2. Creation, earth before the sun and stars. Evolution, sun and stars before the earth. Number 3. Creation, oceans before the land. Evolution, land before the oceans. Number 4. Creation, light before the sun. Evolution, sun was earth's first light. Number 5. Creation, land plants came first. Evolution, marine life came first. Number 6. Creation, fruit trees before fish. Evolution, fish before fruit trees. Number 7. Creation, land vegetation before sun. Evolution, sun before land plants. Number 8. Creation, birds before land reptiles. Evolution, reptiles before birds. Number 9. Creation, man the cause of death. Evolution, death a necessary antecedent of man.
Now folks, I don't know about you, but it doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out this is calling God the Father a what? Hello? You're calling him a liar, right? And how many of you would say that's probably not a very good thing to do? But you might be thinking, okay, wait a second. So evolution totally contradicts God's account of creation in Genesis and calls God the Father a liar, but what about all this carbon dating stuff? I mean, that comes up every single time as proof positive that we've been here for millions and billions of years. What about that stuff? Well, hey, I'm glad you asked. Let's take a look at the supposed accuracy of evolutionary dating methods and you tell me if this whole dating game does not have some serious problems. And people, the first problem with evolutionary dating methods is they don't even function. If somebody is close to you while you're reading this, then turn to them and say, hello. McFly. Why? Because evolutionary dating methods are one of the biggest con games of all time. What most people don't realize is that all these supposed accurate evolutionary dating methods are not only not accurate, they don't even function like they're supposed to. And to show you just how much they do not function, let's first look at how they're supposed to function, starting with the sacred cow of carbon dating. Here's how it's supposed to work.
Carbon 14, C14, dating was considered to be a tremendous breakthrough in science when Willard Libby devised it in 1946. This is how it's supposed to work. Carbon is a naturally abundant element found in the atmosphere, in the earth, in the oceans, and in every living creature. It is formed by radiation from the sun striking the atmosphere of the earth all day long. This energy converts nitrogen into C14. It combines with oxygen to make carbon dioxide, and so it also gets cycled through the cells of plants, and then animals as they eat the plants, and people as they eat plants and animals. When a creature dies, it ceases to consume more radiocarbon, while the C14 already in its body continues to decay back into nitrogen. So, if we find the remains of a dead creature, whose C14 ratio is half of what it's supposed to be, we can assume the creature has been dead for about 5,730 years, since half of the radiocarbon is missing, which takes about 5,730 years for half of it to decay back into nitrogen. If the ratio is a quarter of what it should be, we can assume the creature has been dead for 11,460 year or two half-lives, and so on. So the amount of C14 in that once living thing decreases as time goes on as the ratio gets smaller. So the premise is that based on this rate of decay, we have a clock which starts ticking the moment something dies.
And so folks, here's the point. On the surface, the process of carbon dating seems to be pretty logical, right? I mean, it looks like it should function pretty accurate and reliable, right? Well, that's all part of the illusion. The first reason why carbon dating doesn't function is because it only works with previous living things. People, what did we just see in the process of carbon dating? Carbon 14 goes into plants and animals and people when they eat the plants and animals, right? Here's the point. Notice it didn't say rocks. Why? Because first of all, rocks are dead. How many of you can figure that out? Secondly, rocks don't eat plants and animals. How many of you have ever seen that happen? Good. If you do, run the other way. But since rocks are dead and don't ingest plants and animals, then they don't ingest carbon 14, do they? Therefore, anybody, and mainly I'm speaking about the public here, who says we know the Earth and its rocky crust is millions and billions of years old, they actually just told you they know nothing about the function of carbon dating. It doesn't work on rocks. Oh, but that's not all. The second reason why carbon dating doesn't function is because it only works with a few thousand years. People, once again, what did we see with the process of carbon dating? The whole thing is based on what? The rate of decay, or in other words, the half-lives, right? That's how you're supposed to get the measurement, right? But people, what they don't tell you is that after you go back just a few half-lives, the measurement becomes so tiny it can't even be measured. It's useless. And folks, believe it or not, many evolutionists freely admit this themselves. They admit that carbon dating cannot be measured beyond about 30,000 years. In fact, I found some who admitted it's less than that. In an article in Geology News, Sea Dating Goes Bahamas, July 2, 2001, we read this.
Because the ratio of carbon-14 to carbon-12 is the basis of carbon dating, widespread variation in their atmospheric balance would confuse the system. Carbon dating has long been known to be unreliable for objects over 16,000 years old. This discovery suggests that some ancient items may be several thousand years out.
Now, folks, I don't know about you, but I kind of find it strange that many Christians are still buying into this carbon dating myth when many evolutionists admit it's no good beyond a few thousand years. That's weird, isn't it? Oh, but that's not all. Not only are evolutionists having a problem with this dating method, so is the actual founder, Willard Libby. Here's what he had to say about it. You tell me if he thought it was accurate.
The first shock Dr. Arnold and I had was that our advisors informed us that history extended back only 5,000 years. You read books and find statements that such and such a society or archaeological site is said to be 20,000 years old. We learned rather abruptly that these numbers, these ancient ages, are not known. In fact, it is about the time of the first dynasty in Egypt that the last earliest historical date of any real certainty has been established.
Now, folks, if the creator of carbon dating has some problems with the accuracy of carbon dating, then I'm kind of thinking maybe there's some problems with the accuracy of carbon dating. How about you? Therefore, once again, if anybody says we know the Earth is millions and billions of years old because of carbon dating, they actually just told you they know nothing about the function of carbon dating. Oh, but that's still not all. The third reason why carbon dating doesn't function is because it only works with equilibrium. Let me show you what this means. Willard Libby invented the carbon dating technique and made a major assumption in doing so. He assumed the amount of C14 in the atmosphere today would be the same amount found in living plants or animals because he assumed the rate of in which the C14 was being created in the atmosphere and the rate of decay was stable or in other words equalized. This is called the point of equilibrium. For instance, if you were trying to fill a barrel with water but there were holes drilled up the side of the barrel, as you filled the barrel it would begin leaking out the holes. At some point you would be putting it in and it would be leaking out at the same rate. You will not be able to fill the barrel past this point of equilibrium. In the same way the C14 is being formed and decaying simultaneously. A freshly created Earth would require about 30,000 years for the amount of C14 in the atmosphere to reach this point of equilibrium because it would leak out as it is being filled. Tests indicate that the Earth has still not reached equilibrium. There is more C14 in the atmosphere now than there was 40 years ago. This would prove the Earth is not yet 30,000 years old. This also means that plants and animals that lived in the past had less C14 in them than do plants and animals today. Just this one fact totally upsets data obtained by C14 dating. Now, folks, I don't know about you, but I kind of find it just a little bit funny how the same dating method used by evolutionists to supposedly prove the Earth is billions of years old is actually the very same method proving the Earth can only be a few thousand years old. Isn't that funny? How many of you would say God has a sense of humor? Nanny nanny boo boo in Jesus' name. But you might be thinking, okay, wait a minute. So the carbon dating method is absolutely unreliable for dating things beyond a few thousand years and therefore it doesn't even function for the millions or billions of years touted by the evolutionist. But what about all the other dating methods? I mean, aren't there other dating methods out there the evolutionists use to prove that the Earth is millions and billions of years old? Well, actually there are. In fact, there's literally dozens of other methods out there besides carbon dating that give huge dates. But there's only one huge problem. Just like carbon dating, every single one of these dating methods has some serious flaws. But we'll get to that in the next chapter.